podcast.
And we're recording.
I saw that.
Did you?
Cheeky little duck.
Episode one of the podcast begins now. So, how was your wedding? Oh, yeah.
Was there an intro? Were you planning an intro before the podcast?
There's no intro.
We're just starting. No intro.
Episode one, there is no intro.
We probably should have a meeting about the intro.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, well. I'm cutting.
How was the wedding?
How's the wedding? The wedding was awesome, actually. It was a really good day.
Hot?
It was very hot. Super hot.
First time wearing shorts.
Yeah, never worn shorts to a wedding. It was breezy. Would very much recommend.
Is it going to be the norm from now on?
Definitely not the norm. But if it's, I think if it's over 35, the call is for shorts.
Could you put it in a contract?
Yeah.
Over 35, you've got to wear shorts. Over
35. Yeah.
35 in the contract. Degrees too. Australian degrees are hotter.
Or are they cooler?
No, they're hotter.
Okay.
Did you end up rolling with?
I went with the Nike high top, all black. My custom ones. They looked good, actually. It did look good. I didn't look like a skater. I didn't look like a skater, Justin. I had a nice, really good shirt on, so saved the outfit.
Okay.
What would you have worn? A black t-shirt, black jeans.
Black t-shirt, black shorts.
And black Nikes.
Black Nikes. Not high
basically
tops.
The same outfit, just high tops.
I feel like you got to be comfy.
Exactly.
How'd the bride and groom cope with the heat?
They did really well. They had super dupers and water and stuff. They were well prepared. Lots of super dupers for everybody.
Was the venue was it outside? Like the reception?
Yes. So it was like on a deck on the Murray River. So it was pretty hot. But it cooled down. We had some rain. Actually rained for probably half an hour. Missed getting a rain shot. We just missed out. We're on our way out and it just stopped, which sucked. But that was fun.
Is that where these cloudy photos are from? Is that from that wedding? Like your most recent post?
Yeah.
Was that the reel?
Let me pull this up.
Yeah, some of the reel and stuff. So the sunset photo and that's after it rained.
So,
did you have to go down the road for that, or was that close to the venue?
It's close. It's about 5 minutes from the venue. Apparently, this is the owner of the venue's property on the what they call the sand hill, which is probably the only bit of elevation I think in Mathura.
It's pretty flat out there.
Yeah, but it was good. It was like the perfect spot. Loved it, and there was so many dragonflies. It's crazy.
I think with all that water.
So these photos, we walked out to shoot in this exact spot in the rain because there was like crazy sun popping through the trees with the rain, but the rain stopped. So
they still turned out good.
They're pretty nice. The light was beautiful. It was sort of popping in and out, but it was nice. And then this is a bit earlier, in the day before the light got really tasty.
So this is the wedding you made a reel, your first reel from?
My first reel.
First reel.
How many views did you get?
Really long time.
It took a really long time. It's got less likes than the post where you just put the pictures up.
I wonder how many views it got though. Normally it should get a couple hundred views.
Oh. Should we play it?
Yeah, let's play it.
I don't know if I've got... Is it got audio? I don't know if I've got audio, but we'll see what happens.
It does have audio.
We might have to no audio it. And then it's just images. This took an hour?
Yeah, it's just... To make a reel, took a while. Took longer than it should have.
There's no text on it.
Yeah, okay.
An hour?
It took a while.
Wow. How'd you do it?
I made it in Canva.
Did you draw each photo? These paintings.
No, I'm.
Are these stock images?
No. So I did make it an Instagram, but it was not playing ball. Okay. I've learned that there's some easier ways to do it since making this one. But then I ended up making it in Canva and then duplicated it in Instagram. That's why it runs through the same photos twice. I just changed the duration of like how long the clips would run for. So it worked out all right, but.
Right. So it was. Not.
It was a learning curve.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, reels are getting a lot of action, but I think you. I don't know. People need to see more than the photos. Well, it's like a little bit of, whether it's a little bit of behind the scenes stuff or like a slow motion clip you took on your phone mixed in with it, or. And then people, they want to see a bit of text popping up that's like. I don't know. And then this happened. You'll never guess, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Clickbait. Yeah, but does that take away from, like, if I'm looking to get all this real footage on the day, is that just taking away from me actually doing my job?
It definitely takes the focus away. If you're spending most of the wedding day trying to market yourself, like thinking about that in the back of your head, then you're not paying attention to what's happening, so...
Yeah, I'm super mindful of that. I think I took one video on the day, and that was when the videographer was like, I'd finished shooting at sunset, and the videographer just wanted to get like an extra shot. So,
you had that a little bit of downtime.
Yeah, it was literally when I was like walking back to get my lights, and I was like, oh, hang on, I'll just get a quick like 360 spin with the camera.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
Do you do any shooting on the weekend, Grant?
No, I'm still just, I was thinking about going out shooting this weekend though.
Yeah.
What are you shooting? Melbourne.
Just down Melbourne.
Just some street stuff?
Yeah, I want to, you know, try to do some street stuff just before I go to Japan, just so I'm prepared. And I was going to take a bag full of stuff and just see what I use and what I don't use.
Ah, that's not a bad way to figure out whether you would use it or not. It's hard though, because Japan, it's just so much easier to take street photos in Japan. I don't know. It's like everywhere you walk
it's
different.
Obviously, you know Melbourne, like everyone's been in Melbourne plenty of times. Just looks standard, but
there's more light though in Japan.
Not everyone, just us. Yeah. We've all been But yeah,
there's more light though in Japan.
That's true. For night stuff.
Yeah, for night stuff, there's definitely more light.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you
thinking? Well, maybe it's just a different culture to us, so it seems different. It seems more culture.
Yeah. Plus the colors there. Looks like everything's got like mint greens and like all the taxis and things. Anyway, it looks better than Melbourne. What are you thinking of taking over there?
Day 850, probably 24 to 70, 16 to 35, GoPro. And I've been looking up the drone laws because I'm like, can I sneak that in there? But then I don't know, like getting it over there and I don't want to, you know, fly it, then they come and tell me off or something.
You'd want to do some research. I know when we were over there that we were flying drones at a lot of the resorts and stuff, but
I think they're like class 4 or something, so they can, because they're pretty much like flying drones for deliveries now.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
So like anyone, like the drone laws, I think they're pretty relaxed.
Okay.
But from what I can see.
Yeah. Well, you could get some cool shots, but...
But it is supposed to be a honeymoon too, so...
Yeah, it's not a photography trip.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just... if I got a camera on my side, I can be like, oh, take a photo here, turn around, take a photo. But I'm like, let me set up my DJI Mavic Air 2S and hold on for...
Yeah, it is a different thing. And it's like, it's another distraction, another thing to think about.
Yeah.
But,
Rather than just enjoying that. Keep that spot
and keeping it simple. Like, I mean, just taking one camera, even one camera, one lens when you're on a trip like that can be a simple way.
Yeah.
And you just don't worry about it. You don't have the stuff. So you don't have, you know, if you miss out, you miss out.
Yeah.
But Grant's also different to us, Justin, that it's still, well, when I pick up my camera, it feels like work. Whereas Grant, like, he loves it. Like, it's, does that make sense?
Does it, so it feels like work for you now all the time? Because I remember when you were running around Japan with a camera and it didn't look like you were working. I remember when you offered to take a group photo of some girls that were in a sports team or something.
What? I don't remember.
We walked past them in Japan and they were trying to take a photo and you were like, I'll do it, I'll do it, give me your camera.
Oh, I do that everywhere though.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I always help people with a photo.
Does that feel like work?
You're having
fun?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So maybe just for me, maybe my camera does. I don't know.
Yeah.
So but if you want to get to,
I was just going to say, if you go on a holiday now, do you want to take your camera or not?
I always take it and I never use it. I just use my phone.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if we were to go down to Melbourne and we all took our camera? Would that feel like work?
No, because that would be like a purpose, I think.
Yeah.
So that would work for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Need to have a purpose.
Mm. Like when we were doing the stuff on Hotham for Lucky, and we're doing some, like, you know, I love doing that. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just when it's for me and there's no purpose, it doesn't. Yeah. Just not that enthusiastic sometimes.
Interesting. So if you were going on a trip and there was a specific shot you wanted to try and get or something like that, then maybe you'd be more excited about it. But if you just,
yeah, for sure,
taking a camera along, but you always pack it because you have what, FOMO or something?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. What would you take if you were going to Japan? What would you take?
I've got different lenses to Grant, but I'd be taking a 50 and like something slightly wider, or for me, the 58. So for me, I'd probably take the 58,
so
and
you shoot Nikon. So the 58.
Yeah. So, we take a DF50. Yeah. And then either the 20 or the 28, like the 20 is probably going to be better for Tokyo, but the 28 is just delicious. So
20, it's hard to pass this up. Street. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I took the 28 cause that's my old lens. I took the 28 on on a few trips.
Is it really?
As the only? Yeah, it is. It's actually my old lens. Yeah. One of a few. I took it as the only lens on a few trips. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially with the DF50 because you can crop in. So
yeah, exactly.
You can still get 20 megapixels and shoot at 1.4 at sharp. It looks like it's a 45 mil lens or something. So.
And if anything's super wide, you can just shoot like a pano or something like that and stitch it back later.
Yep. Unless it's
like if there was something you really wanted.
In traffic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Within reason.
But yeah. And a landscape or something.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. There's obviously limitations to packing limited amounts of gear.
Speaking of wide angle lenses.
Hmm.
This thing's cool. 16mm 2.8.
Ooh, that's tiny.
Tiny.
That is tiny.
And without profile corrections on, it's wider than my 15. It's a little bit fisheye, and I reckon it's like 13 or 14mm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then profile corrections like flattens it out, takes it to 16.
Yeah.
And then
it looks cool. It's so compact.
It's the same size as, hold on. It's exactly the same body as the Nifty 50 that, so the 51.8, it's exactly the same body. It's just a different, internal.
Mm-hmm. Do you go down to the skate park with that then?
I haven't, but I will. I've got to test it. I'm going to take it to Buller this weekend to shoot some mountain biking. And then Jim and I have a wedding coming up on the 4th. Ooh. And I think I'll use this this in a pouch on my belt, the R5 with the 16 as my wide, and then the 28 to 70 for everything else.
Yep. Where's the wedding?
I don't know. Shadow Dore.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times have you been there, Jim?
A lot. I think this past 6 months, maybe like 10 or 11 times. There's a few weekends I was shooting there, Saturday and Sunday, which was awesome. What does mean?
Wow. I was just, so Grant, how many weddings did you shoot last year? You're a part-time hobby photographer last year. That does some weddings, like in the last 12 months.
I've done two, I think. Yeah.
Two. Yeah. I think I did three. No, one of them being yours, Grant.
Yeah.
Which didn't really count because I didn't take the 35 mil off the camera for the whole day. but Jim shoots like a million weddings.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And shoots not that many. Shoots more than we do, though. Like more. He shoots more at Shadow Dore than we do in like a few years of all.
Yeah. Of all weddings.
How many did you do last year, Jim?
I actually don't know. 2022 was huge, though. So it would have been over 50 in the January to December.
Yeah, because of COVID build up, like you're reshuffling weddings into spots and trying to get through everybody's wedding. So how do you then, if you are shooting at one venue, this one venue that we have in town that's popular, mm-hmm. how do you shoot there like Friday, Saturday, and then the next week again and not get the same photos over and over again for the couples?
It's actually ridiculously easy, and it just followed a lot. Like I don't, like, you know where spots work on certain days, but the number one thing, which is like what we've always done, is just literally following what the light's doing in the day. So it's not trying to make spots work because you know that that's a shot. It's sort of just seeing what's happening on that day and kind of going with it. So every wedding I had there, I found a new spot, and I've been shooting there for like 8 years, I shoot there a heck of a lot. I was finding a new spot every time. I was like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But it just depends what the light's doing.
So you'll go to similar areas in the venue, but you'll look for light on the day that might be coming through a different, you know, group of trees or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. It depends what the gardens are doing, what season it is, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do people book you though, like for like they see that you've shot there and they see the photos and like, oh gee, we really want like a similar photo?
Yeah, and there's definitely is some spots that you kind of have to do the same shot. They've been doing some sort of like work in the cellar. So sort of most of the last 12 months has sort of been like only one little window of opportunity. Had to move some tools and stuff around to kind of get a shot and then move it back. And then you come back the next weekend and do kind of the same thing. But that's probably the only thing that's limited when you can't sort of physically, change too much because there's only one little hole.
And how do you feel after 50 weddings for a year?
Tired. Nah. Good. Feeling good. Feeling had a few weeks off over Christmas, so actually feeling super fresh now.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and the photographer that was being interviewed, Rick Liston, I think he's from Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he shot Yeah, he shoots over 100 weddings in a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's a heck of a lot of weddings.
And is he good?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's doing great work and doing 100 a year. That's crazy.
I think he automates a lot of his, he just shoots nearly.
Yep. He'd have to. I mean, that's a lot.
It's like two a weekend.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah.
So he must be doing more.
At least, yeah. You got to have some weekends off.
Some weekends off, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So you don't want to try and do another 50 next year, Jim?
Not at this stage, but, you know, maybe we'll see. No, I think for me...
What's the sweet spot?
Probably 35 to 40, depending how you can get them spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, even 25 big weddings and another 15 smaller elopements or, you know, 20 elopements or something like that. Yeah. You can, you know, knock out during the week.
Are elopements still happening or is that really just a COVID thing?
They're still happening for sure. It doesn't seem to be as big in Central Victoria at the moment.
No. Well, we don't have... We're not a destination. You know, if you were living in a destination kind of tourism location...
Queenstown.
Or something like that. Yeah, Queenstown. Yeah. You might be able to make it more of a business, but...
Even down by the beach, you know, where you've got... You can just go down and find a little patch.
But yeah, I don't think it's definitely not really us. I actually I was thinking about this today. And if you, an easy win for getting yourself out there to book more weddings in Bendigo, no one's made a video of Bendigo wedding venues. And to do that, you wouldn't even have to film at the venues. Like you could
just use your photos.
Just use your photos and just film yourself talking through what you like about each venue, what it's like to have photos there, you know, and just pick five and make a video that's like Bendigo's five best wedding venues and then do the same for Echuca. And
that's risky, only doing five when there's so many.
Do 10.
Yeah.
And do them in no particular order and just highlight what the unique features for each one are and show... Like just show photos from different areas and stuff like that, but just do it all yourself. Talk through it. You don't have to go to the venue and interview someone and film B-roll and do all that sort of stuff. Like just make it yourself. You just basically have to write a script probably.
Yeah.
And
you'd have to have the photos. Yeah.
Yeah, but you put them in afterwards. You know, like you highlight what you've said with the photos. That's easy.
Yeah. How do you get yourself out there if you haven't been there before, though?
Oh, well. You'd
probably undo the ones you've been to.
I was going to say, this is a strategy for Jim because he's been shooting for years, so he's got this, like, he's worked at all the venues. He knows them all. But so when you search Bendigo wedding venue at the moment, zero YouTube results show up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. So you would be on page one for Bendigo wedding venues if you made a video.
Yeah.
I think so.
You could even set out a day and just go to them all because you've obviously shot there and you know all the people behind the scenes.
Well, you just could, but
shoot some B-roll and talk behind it.
It adds a lot of complexity though, and you're just talking about it from a photographer's point of view, so why not use photos to highlight?
Well, you could do both. Yeah.
You could.
Could just do it from here though, where I am.
That's what I mean. You can do it with the mic. People don't care. It doesn't, like, it could be this, what we're doing now on the podcast. That could be your frame. You don't have to go and sit yourself up in a nice picturesque location and put a lapel mic on and do all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you could literally just talk keep it through simple. It and yeah, keep it simple. You could even set up a little Lightroom collection of the different venues and use that on your screen to click through to talk as you talk, and then obviously you'll put them in post, but it might prompt you to talk about the venue's features and that kind of thing as you click through your own photos, what's great about it, what you love shooting about, you know, different spots. Anyway, just a thought.
How long would that take Jim to edit though?
Judging by the length of my reel, probably 4 to 6 weeks.
Look, if he can talk in a satisfactory manner where you don't have to chop words out every 2 seconds, that should only take an hour or two to edit.
Yeah. There's an app too, now you can get it, like would, a teleprompter.
Definitely. But it would probably take longer for him to gather the photos really than to actually edit it.
It'd take me a while to talk, I think.
Yeah.
That's going to be
potentially. But, you know, just need to pretend you're... I mean, you would have no trouble talking to a couple if they came in to have a meeting. They sit on that couch behind you and asked you about the different venues in Bendigo. You would have no problem telling about.
No, that's very true.
So, just do that. Anyway, just a thought. Easier than making reels. And they last a lot longer.
They do.
That's true. Unless you pin it.
That's true. Yeah. You probably could make a feature reel, like actually film you shooting and talking to the camera about what you do as like more of an ad than anything. You know, that would be a lot of work, but it would probably be worth it.
Yeah, I was going to see if you wanted to come along and film me for a day or two.
Oh, film you for a day or two. That's a lot of money. I don't know if you can afford that.
I can't. I'll pay you in gym monies.
Yeah, I've heard about gym monies. I don't want a big check that you can't cash. But yeah, I mean, we could. I can probably get some footage at this wedding that's coming up if it's not too hectic.
Yeah, if we get time at different points.
Yep. For sure. Did you guys see the lens that Sony just released? Do you guys follow Sony stuff?
No.
They just released a 20-70 f/4. Like lightweight, supposedly super sharp, 20-70. Like that is a useful focal range. Like you could take that's if you could take that lens traveling.
That's like one perfect lens in it.
Because it's wide enough that you can do landscapes, but yeah. Yeah. Sony, you've got some cool stuff. That and Tamron for Sony make the 35-150 f/2-2.8. Which apparently is the ultimate wedding lens. Yeah, I see. Are you?
Did you say 35? Did you say 35-150?
35-150 f/2-2.8. Yeah,
that's one lens.
That's tempting,
a delicious lens.
It's tempting.
That's the good thing about Sony, though. You know, they got so many brands. With their lenses. Like, what's Canon got? Just Canon.
This is the thing. Canon have. You know, outlawed third-party lenses for now on the RF system. You know, we used to have lots of options with Tamron and Sigma and others. And now, so if it's that you can't get an autofocus lens anymore for Canon RF mount. A couple of brands did a few primes with them, but they've been basically, they can't sell them anymore. Canon put a stop to that. And the autofocus is, I think, maybe no longer reliable. You know, with updates and that kind of stuff.
It'd be interesting to see how long that lasts.
I don't know whether they'll stick with it forever or if they just want to get their full kind of lens roadmap out before they allow others to do it. Which is,
fair.
Hey, it's fair enough. It pisses me off.
Well, they've invested in the system.
Yeah, I know. But also, like, that 35-150.
But then everyone's already got a lens. So they don't have to go and buy a second.
Sure. Yeah. So exactly. And obviously like Canon's prices and everyone else's prices have gone up heaps, you know, going into mirrorless. Like lenses now, you know, a $4,000 when they were two and a half for sort of similar lenses in DSLR systems. But that's obviously what the companies needed to do to stay profitable with like the shrinking camera market. But yeah, I don't know. I understand why they've done it, but it pisses me off that I can't buy a 35-150 f/2-2.8 without switching to Sony. And now I'm tempted to switch to Sony.
Are you? Because we're talking about that today.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's the question, Grant. If you were starting from scratch, going from DSLR to mirrorless, what system do you buy into?
I don't know. Like I was looking at the A7R4.
Mm-hmm.
Still an awesome camera. I'm not really shooting anything quick.
But it's old.
It's the old model. Yeah, but
I'm kidding. But yeah, still an amazing camera. I mean, some people were doing some image, I can't remember where I saw it, somewhere on YouTube, image comparisons to like the A7R, just the A7R, the first one.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was fucking good. You know, like it's still good. It's still good by today's standards. Same with the D850 that you guys shoot with, other than the fact that it's DSLR and it's, you know, old school
film
body, basically. The image quality is perfect.
And most people...
There's nothing more that you would want.
Yeah. Most people look at a photo on a phone anyway. So exactly, how are you going to know much of a difference?
Well, so the question would be for you, Grant, is what do you actually want? Like, what do you want to shoot? You know, like before you pick what system you're going to buy, like what photography you sort of... Where are you heading? What's the output going to be?
Oh, probably... I've just put in my bio on my Instagram that I want to do more like travel and adventure photography. Mm-hmm. So not so much just landscapes, or I think I got a fair bit of wildlife from my last trip, but, you know, incorporating people in like the landscape. So, you got like a focal point of like, you know, a person in the background, but it's like this massive grand like landscape.
Okay. And so, and what would the images be for? Would you be looking to do that for clients or just do it for your own work, or what, like what's...
At the start, I'll, you know, try and build a portfolio, and then I'll, try and start pitching to, I don't know, tourism boards or adventure companies.
Okay. So the goal would be to get paid work.
Yeah.
In that area.
Yeah. Because, like, unlike Jim, I don't think I could do 30 to 40 weddings a year. Like, if I'm doing a wedding, it's 4 to 6 hours max. Like, 6 hours would be my max.
Okay. Have you done a 10-hour wedding before?
I think I've done two.
Yeah, and how'd they go?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it was my first one, and it was a big day.
Mm. Yeah, and we used to do 12 hours.
We used to do 12 hours, and they were like always be far like away, 2.5 hours away, yeah. 2.5 hour drive. So we did some 15-16 hour days easily.
I think we did more some days.
If you got someone there, crazy drive. Gone.
It was better with two of us, but it was still a battle.
Yeah.
I had a Yarra Valley wedding that was 12 hours. And I drove there and back. So it was like 2.5-3 hour drive each way.
Mm-hmm. That's
insane.
After 12 hours, though, do the photos just start looking the same?
Nah, because you're doing like the party and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I guess because the day kind of progresses on.
Yeah.
You're not sort of doing portraits anymore. You're just kind of capturing what's happening.
Yeah. You can see who's had one too many, and
so do you want to shoot weddings, but you just don't want to shoot long ones, or you'll do them if they come to you?
Yeah, I advertise it, but yeah, I'm not like going out seeking it.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to make a little bit of a kitty so I can swap camera systems, and then sell my cameras after that, because I don't want to be caught without having a camera.
Yeah.
It's easy to justify too when you've got work coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you need two bodies, or would you just use one body? I mean, if you have to shoot a wedding, it's risky to not have
two. Yeah. I've got the 850 and the 750 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like I've seen people shoot like say with a Sony, but then they've got an A6500. Yeah. So just backup. As their second camera.
Yeah. It depends on the sort of weddings you're doing. Like if you're going to do those 4 hour weddings daytime, that's not too risky. I know for me, and I'm sure Jim would say too, like if you were committed to a big wedding and you lost the camera, you lost your main camera
at
the start of the day and you only had an A6500 or whatever, that would be a very tough and depressing day. And then yeah, you would also be dreading trying to edit those photos.
It's happened to me.
What's that?
I lost a camera.
Lost a camera.
During, not lost it, like it died. Mm-hmm. The shutter went.
Yeah. And so what camera was that and what did you have as a backup?
It was a D850. Mm-hmm. So at the time I had two D850, so I was always shooting with two cameras anyway.
Yeah.
But thankfully I still had a D780 in the car. So I actually ran to the car, got that, dumped the other camera, changed my camera plate over and kept shooting. So within 5 minutes I was back on deck like nothing had happened.
Yeah. And that's only so because you like to shoot with primes, you've got a wide and a tighter prime, like a portrait lens on of 105 or whatever, or a 58.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's the only reason. Otherwise, you would still be fine with just one D850. I mean, worst case, you would be fine with one D850 anyway. You would just shoot with one lens rather than two.
Just shoot a bit slower.
Or shoot a bit slower.
Yeah.
But you still had a decent backup. So you could keep using two bodies. But I mean, if you were even just going from, say, D850s, if you had to go back to a crop, like the D500 or whatever that we use for the photo booth, like that would be a brutal day shooting with something like that as your only backup.
Yeah, but it would work.
As your only backup. No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm saying if you had one. So say you had a D850 and then you had one backup. And that one backup was sort of a entry level camera. It would be rough.
Yeah, it would be.
But
so is my backup too? Like, do I need the 780 or should I just have the D500 as a backup?
I mean, it depends what you want. You know, you're doing big weddings. The other thing that you're doing that Grant's probably not going to be doing is double headers. You know, if you've got a double header, it would be a big deal to go into the next day with no backup. Like if you only have two bodies, one backup, but that's what backups are for, I guess. So, and there's always people you can borrow cameras off. If that actually happens, but, I would be fine with, just two bodies, but that's because I'm shooting zooms again more now. So like with the 28-70, so if I just have the R3 and the R5, if I could shoot a full wedding on either of those bodies, no problem. Just one thing. It wouldn't stress me out at all.
Yeah.
Whereas, if you want to use primes, I guess it makes you want to have two. But
then maybe you only shoot with two lenses.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, ditch.
I was listening to the Taylor Jackson podcast. Just headbutted my microphone. Listening to the Taylor Jackson podcast today. And he was talking about like what he takes on because he does, what are they called? Travel like weddings.
Destination weddings.
That's the word I was thinking of. Destination weddings. And he was talking about his destination wedding kit. And he often just shoots with like 35 and 85 and he'll have a backup body, but he shoots a 35 and 85 often on the same camera. Like he'll just switch lenses and you know, because he shoots video as well. Like he does unique coverage. He'll make them a video and shoot photos.
It's pretty cool.
So, and yeah, I was like, so he often just shoots with one prime and has the other prime there, but he switches to it when he needs to switch to it. But on the other hand, he did also say he's been shooting with that 35 to 150 Tamron on the Sony system heaps and loves that for ceremonies because you just don't have to take it off and one
just, body. Just so, one camera.
Yeah.
Don't have to think about camera. Much.
I do. I really enjoy shooting one camera instead of two. It's very, I don't know, allows you to focus in a lot more on what's going on. And not
you don't have to, juggle. Yeah.
Juggle cameras and settings. And I mean, obviously you can get really good at it where it becomes second nature, but going back from two to one, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I know like the D850. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, it's all right.
Yeah. I was going to say with the D850 and the 750, like all the buttons are in different spots.
Yeah. That's what I hated. That's why I bought the second D850.
Same.
Not that I couldn't get around. It was all right when I had the 750. Well, not because I used to run it. I had 750s for years. Mm-hmm. So I was fully all over them. And then when I had the 850, obviously learnt that. But then when I got the 780, it was slightly different. And it just wasn't as easy to go back between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, yeah, two DAT 50s. Actually, sometimes for like first kiss and stuff like that, I actually shoot two cameras at once and shoot like left-handed with one and use like this finger.
Crowd pleaser. you end up with two photos that are almost the same.
Different focal lengths, though.
I know. I'm just messing. But the crowd.
So one's wide, gets the full ceremony in, yeah. And the other one's tight.
You can do a similar thing with the 850 just by cropping it in, so you get a 20 megapixel file.
Maybe. But
do you miss focus though on the one that you're not looking in?
No, so I pre-focus the wide. Yeah. So the wide's in my left hand. It's like,
yeah.
If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. And then, yeah, my main long camera is like the one. So you
always nail the long, and then the wide's.
Hopefully, yeah. And because the size of the camera is straight, I just butt it up against the other one, roughly adjust it, take some test ones, look before the moment's happened and be kind of ready to go. So that, yeah.
So you'd be chimping.
Chimping.
Isn't that what they do? Like the sports photographers? You know, they'll be out taking a photo and they'll be straight back on.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Jim's a monster chimper. I remember hearing that word. That's not, yeah.
I think it's more snowboarding.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a thing that people would talk about as if it was bad because you'd be missing, every time you look at the back of your camera, you're missing action, you know?
Yeah.
I think it came a little bit from like the film photography era where it was like, you shouldn't have to look at the back of the camera to know you got the shot. You should know you've got the shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then now it's funny how that's changed so much now because it's like mirrorless. You're literally looking at the sensor readout,
in your viewfinder. Yeah.
So you're basically chimping every time you bring the camera up to your eye. It's it's funny, but I'm the same. I like to look back and
you want to make sure you've got it.
See if the photo looks good, you know. But you got to be obviously you got to be mindful not to do it while something fun's happening. But
no,
it happens. It happens. Oh, man. So what are you going to buy, Grant? You know what I was thinking you should get if you had a lot of money?
Yeah, what's that?
Fuji.
Fuji?
Yeah.
Are they that expensive?
No. The GFX.
Oh, yeah. That's big though, isn't it?
Yeah, they're delightful.
Mm. Have you seen the Leicas?
Yeah, they're very expensive. An SL2 super expensive. Or something? You're thinking SL2, like interchangeable lens, not the manual focus, like the M11 or whatever they're up to now.
Yeah, I think was it Peter McKinnon had one?
Yeah, he's a Leica fanboy. I'm guessing they threw some cashola.
Oh, definitely, but yeah.
But he's not actually a Leica fanboy, but he is shooting with it a bit.
They just look cool.
They do look cool, but I think if you look, have you looked at those Fujis?
I reckon I was on a Nissi workshop and the actual Nissi supplier guy, he had one.
This
would have been a couple of years ago. So, but then I know there's another landscape photographer. He has like the X, what are they? The XTs? No.
As in the crop sensor ones.
Yeah.
The Fuji
XT2, XT3s. The Fuji crops, they
look killer. They don't have the resolution if you want. The crop sensor stuff, the X series, doesn't have the resolution you would want for landscape, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like, do you want high res? Are you going to be printing stuff? Like, what are you going
to
be doing?
I want to print. Yeah. I think most of my stuff from Japan I'm going to print.
Yeah.
Like all the cool landscapes, probably more sunrise, sunset photos.
So would you want to take would you want to step down in megapixels from the D850 or would you want to be similar or more?
Similar.
It's 40-45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still leaning towards the R5.
It's a nice
camera. It's a good camera. It's a beautiful camera.
And it just seems like everyone's shooting on it lately. So
you got to remember though that, and look, I'm shooting on it, but you got to remember that Canon does dominate the market in terms of like numbers. So it was the same when Jim and I were shooting Nikon. Like it seemed like everyone was shooting Canon. Still.
They were.
But we were like at the time, like Nikon sensors were way better. Even the old D750s that sucked as a camera body had amazing sensors in them compared to what Canon was using. And it's kind of like that now. It's like it seems like everyone's shooting with Canon, but it's because Nikon's dropped off even more in terms of their, I guess, appeal in terms of mirrorless. So it's either Sony or Canon for a lot of people. And Sony are killing it too. But yeah, that makes it feel like that's the only camera that you should be using because everyone is using it. But I don't know.
And maybe the people that I follow, you know, it's like when you see, you're like, I'm going to go out and buy a red car and you see 100 red cars. Yeah. It could just be like that too. But I don't know. I've been looking into like different cameras, but R5 is probably going to be my go-to.
Is that what I was shooting with, Justin, for the flow stuff?
Yeah.
So I picked that up and shot for 3 days and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I've used a mirrorless camera once before that.
See, I haven't used
one. And it wasn't that. It was a Nikon. So it's good. Good camera. I'd rate it.
What was the Nikon one?
I used Justin's old Z6 when he had one.
Yeah, I had a Z6. Yeah. They're the same as the Z7. It was before the 2s had come out.
It was early days.
Yeah. At this stage, if you... it depends how much you love your Nikon lenses, but, you know, I would... For Jim, it would potentially be worth considering Nikon mirrorless. Especially if he was keen on the Z9, because that thing does seem to be killing it.
Oh, the Z9's sick, but price tags.
Price tag, and I think, you know, everyone's the 6 and 7, Z6, Z7, the autofocus still isn't where Canon and Sony are. And I don't know if I would buy into that system if you're thinking of getting native lenses anyway. Because adapting lenses does suck. It works great, but it balances the camera. Like they sit out really far.
It's almost like, what's the point?
Well, I see the point because say you can slowly transition your system over. There's lenses that you can't buy in the new systems and stuff like that. Yes. So it's great. It's great to be able to adapt them, but I think.
But why? Like, why would you even get rid of a day at 50 to buy a Z7 II, and then use the same lenses that you've? Sorry.
If you shoot any video, if you want eye autofocus, you know, there are reasons for sure. But I think if you're
shooting photos though,
you'd really want to be budgeting some money into lenses in the near future if you were bothering to switch to mirrorless. I mean, if you needed a new body anyway, it's probably, you know, if you needed a D850, it's probably worth considering, you know, getting a mirrorless, but that's if you wanted to slowly roll into the system. Whereas I think for Grant, like what have you got? 3 lenses?
Yeah.
But they're expensive lenses, but
4.
Yeah. But
changing over is not as,
it's not huge.
Not an easy thing.
No, but it's also not like Jim's got like, I don't know, 9 lenses or something. I'm not even sure. And they're super expensive primes and stuff. And they're primes that you really like as well. So it makes it more compelling to stick with that brand, but I would still, I did the switch to Canon and it was expensive, but I think I shot with Nikon mirrorless and Nikon DSLR at the same time for a while and I didn't really enjoy it, but then switched everything to mirrorless and got native lenses and stuff and I'd never go back. It's awesome. So it's almost like you kind of need to, but you know, there's these lenses that are out there now. Like you could get a Sony, a 35 to 150 and a wide and that's it.
Yeah.
And two lenses and one camera body. And if you could deal with a little bit of a hit on your megapixels, you could get the A7 IV. Is that what just came out? I'm so bad with Sony.
5? They're up to 5 now.
A7 IV. 4 or 5?
I reckon that's
four.
30. So that's the in between.
Yeah, $3,500 Australian dollar dues.
It's pretty good value.
Yeah,
pretty good value.
So that's in between. Is it R and C? Sony's got like R's. So A7R and A7C.
I don't know if they have an A7C. I think,
or is it A7S?
A7S is the video one. Yeah, you won't want the S. It's the
no, A, that's the like S filming in it.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Then they've got the A9, which is sports, and you wouldn't buy that at the moment. I think it's in the middle of a cycle, and it's a bit weird. And then they've got the A1, which is what I would buy. And it's like, what is it? A 50-megapixel sports camera, basically. But it's 9,000. Yeah, right. 8,000 Australian dollar dues.
It's cheap then.
Cheap. Well, it's the same price as basically the same price as the R3. The R3 is not 50 megapixels, but it does have some advantages. At least the R3 is an actual pro body, whereas the A1 is still the same shape as all the other Sony bodies. Like, it's still a, you got to buy a grip for it if you want a grip.
And that's the same price as a Z9 too.
Yes. I think.
Oh, they're $9,000, I think, on Nikon's website.
Are they? So. I thought they were cheaper than that.
Well,
but they're all pretty close.
7.5, 8.2, 8.3 at George's.
Yeah.
Cameras.
So, basically the same price.
$9,000 a digital correct.
Do you know anyone's got a Z9 though?
I don't know anyone that's got one.
I tried to get one. Look,
yeah, we tried to borrow. Tried to get Jim one for a test, but they didn't reply.
Couldn't Nikon. Get in, so
yeah.
Yeah. But I'm so shot with a Canon R5 all week.
Yeah. I'd love to get one of each. It'd be a fun test to do. Like get a Z9, but then it's like you need a lot of lenses and time.
And also similar really lenses. Like comparable lenses.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where they're slightly let down is their lens roadmap.
And that's where it's weird though. They've got some good stuff. The F1.8 primes are really high quality for what they are. They're great quality. Like I liked them when I was shooting on the system, but they're also missing some things, I think. And I don't think their 70-200 is as delightfully small as the Canon RF 70-200 is.
No, that thing's tiny.
It's really, really a game changer. So, I don't know. I don't know if I could bind it Nikon at the moment. Canon and Sony are too compelling. It depends on budget.
Even the people, though, that have been shooting Nikon, like that I follow on Instagram, they're still shooting DSLR. Like, not many are shooting mirrorless.
Exactly, because it's not, most of them are photographers, and it's not, because Nikon never led the way in video.
Yeah.
So whereas Canon had that video early, and then Sony kind of
started a long time ago.
People, but Canon started the DSLR video thing, you know, that ball rolling. So there were a lot of Canon users that wanted to get to mirrorless ASAP, the ones that didn't jump to Sony, and, you know, whereas, Nikon, it definitely sort of, is a photographer's brand. So that's probably slowed down their transition a lot as well. But I don't know. I'd be tempted on Sony. You know, the other cool thing about Sony is if you look at used stuff, so say if you wanted to get a backup camera for weddings, like there's so many A7s used. If you go, you know, you can go back as far as you want to go back in terms of which one will do the job for a backup. But they're all full frame cameras that, and Sony's sensors have always been good. They've got their quirks when you get back older with autofocus and stuff like that. But, you know, if it's just for a second camera body, there's some pretty cheap stuff kicking around. But Fuji GFX.
Get a hold of one and we'll take it out for a shoot.
Ooh, we should. GFX, the 50 megapixel one, the GFX 50 S2. I think it's under $6,000. Or, maybe you want the GFX 100S. It's 100 megapixels.
Oh, Jesus.
$9,000.
More than full frame.
What's a medium format? It's not a full medium format. It's like,
102 megapixels.
How many megapixels do you need, though?
All of them.
Probably not 102. Well, not for me. Ooh, that's insane.
Let me show you.
I don't know if it's just my screen, but the photos don't look that great. Oh, or is it just the detail in it, maybe?
It's probably just you being picky. So that's the sensor size. So APS-C versus full frame, and then up to Fuji's medium format standard versus like what Hasselblad call a medium format.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a big sensor. Huge. But I don't know how practical they are. Russell Ord shoots with them and the Fuji Crop series, like, uses them both for different things depending on what these. The images look amazing, but
okay, these do look better now. It was just the portraits.
If you download full res versions too, they'll probably look
awesome. More bokeh, Justin. Bokeh fill backgrounds.
Yeah, but you can get that with an f1.2 85 lens from Canon.
Yeah.
So with the R5 and the R3, do you shoot more video now?
Yeah, way more. Way more. I'm 50-50 video on photos now, for sure. Probably even more video.
And the mirrorless made you do that more? Or
Did it give you the tools to be able to do it?
Yeah, it allowed me. I wanted to do it more, and mirrorless definitely allowed me to get better at it. This in-body stabilization is way better. Makes life a lot easier. But just, the way everything works, being able to switch back and forth.
I tried to do a video like the other week with the 850. Mm-hmm. And didn't like it.
it's hard.
It's got limitations. If you don't want to slow, shoot. What's it called? Like slow frame rate.
Slow-mo.
That's what I meant. Yeah. If you don't want to talk, if you don't want to shoot slow-mo, it's not too bad. But as soon as
on a tripod, I used it for a few videos as the main camera. And like Jim says, like just in normal, what the people in the video world seem to call regmo. Not really. If you're just shooting a normal frame rate, 25 frames a second, it worked fine. But, when I was using that, I was using an Atomos external recorder and I was using an external recorder for sound and all sorts of stuff. And now it's just, everything's just straight into the camera.
Don't have to worry.
The color that's coming out of the Canon stuff, like the log files and that straight out of the camera, are way better than what I was getting recording into an Atomos Ninja and doing all this stuff. And
extra stuff.
Yeah, I can put it all in a backpack and ride a mountain bike and pull it out. No tripod. Like all the videos that I've shot for Flow, no tripod. Never a tripod. No. And they've got like talking to camera sections and all that sort of stuff. And I just handhold all of it.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Nothing. Yep.
Yeah. I done a video on the 850 at a wedding.
Oh, really? Like a wedding?
I think I was there, wasn't I?
Oh, actually, I've done two then. And I've done the other one, I had the 750 as well, just on a tripod. But yeah, the photographer looked at me and he's like, I've never seen anyone do a video on a Nikon before.
Yeah, it's uncommon.
But it was
there's one guy I've seen, he loves it. Like he's got some old ones, some new ones, just like a big mix of Nikon stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, this was just like a friend, so there was no high expectations, I hope.
You hope. Have you made it for him yet?
Yeah, no, they've got it.
They're happy.
A couple of years ago. Well, they told me they were happy.
Oh. How did Warwick's go?
It was good. It wasn't like a, same sort of thing. They didn't, I don't think they really expected me to do much. It was kind of like when Justin shot our wedding. Like, you're there at the wedding. Like, we don't expect you to, like be full work mode the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though he was.
Was it okay though?
Yeah.
Is it good enough?
Yeah, the photo's all right.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I tried. I put it on 30 frames a second and just held the button down.
Yeah, for 8 hours.
For 8 hours.
Do you buffer out, Justin? Like, does that camera buffer out?
Depends what SD card I've got in there.
Yeah, so you've got the good ones.
If I pull the SD and just shoot to the CF, which I do a lot because the CF has been extremely reliable, and CF Express and shooting sports and stuff, I just often don't see the need to shoot to two cards. And especially when I'm shooting hybrid videos and photos too, and not every video codec can write simultaneously to two cards, even on the R3. So I've got a new SD card for when I shoot weddings with you. I don't know where it's gone.
The 256 gig.
Yeah, this one here. The Angel Bird 256 V60, which seems fast enough, but I can hit the buffer on it. It'd have to be a pretty gnarly part of the wedding to hit the buffer, and I'd probably have to be shooting at a frame rate that's not required for a wedding. But yeah, CF Express, I never hit the buffer shooting 30 frames a second on the R3. You can definitely buffer out on the R5. The buffer's not as big.
How many frames did you shoot at the last wedding? Not Grant's, that we shot.
7,000?
I thought it was more. Or maybe it was Grant's that you shot like 11. It was
Grant's, I shot 15,000.
Yeah, 15. I didn't go through them, luckily I just did.
I was drunk.
Oh.
And she went through every single photo.
And most of them were at... I wasn't.
Did she make you edit every single one? Second,
but...
Me? No, I just put a preset on it and it was done.
Speaking of presets, Jim, are you still using the AI thing to do your... like the thing that applies your basic edits?
Yeah, or you imagine
the wedding.
Imogen. Yeah, still using Imogen. It's been good
for every wedding.
May. Yep, every wedding. Basically, anything that's like wedding or like a portrait, you know, couples portrait or something like that. That's a similar style.
So, what does that do?
It basically does what we used to get outsourced years and years ago when we were using an outsourcing editing place. So
do applies you your preset, which close? Is
I think it's closer
than outsource.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay. It probably gets 85% of it right. It struggles with artistic shots and stuff like that. Something that's against your normal kind of editing, but most of the day it's pretty close. Maybe
white
some slight
is good.
The white balance is remarkably good. Sometimes it gets it wrong with some like reflected light in like with some greens and stuff, so skin might be a little bit smidge green that you can just change the tint or something. But yeah, it's pretty good most of the time, and it gets what it speeds up is just the photos that don't matter, that they might be a photo but they don't matter, but you know, like a musician or something that you want to give them, but you don't have to spend time kind of editing, just quick crop maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of move on to the moments that matter.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm excited. I so you had to set up a profile by uploading like over 5,000 of your edits to the system, and then it learnt your editing style through those edits.
Yeah, so you got to upload 5,000 photos through a Lightroom catalog.
Yep. and you, at the time, from different weddings, like so you
you can have the same wedding edited. If you'd shot. Yeah, you could have the same wedding if you delivered 5,000 edited photos, but you've got to give it at least 5,000 photos to learn off you. And then,
but the more variety, the better. Like, like if you gave it 10 weddings or 20 weddings, that's going to be better than giving it one wedding that had that you, for some reason, delivered 5,000 photos from.
Yeah.
And then, because all the light would be different too.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So,
and that's the goal, to give it as much training as possible so that it learns your style better.
But it keeps training on the job. Like, you send it back, you finish the edit, then you send it back to it.
Do you do that every time?
I've missed a few, and then because I make duplicates for black and white, for our black and white preset, I've just got to change some settings so that it only reads the colors, because I don't want it obviously learning. I don't need it to learn a black and white preset. It's not needed. It could be needed, like maybe, but it's probably not.
What does it cost you roughly per wedding?
I think like 35, 40 bucks.
Yeah.
I think that's US.
Yeah. So $1,000 Australian dollars.
Yeah, at the moment, pretty much.
And how much to outsource then, like back in the day?
Back in the day, we were on a pretty good deal. And it was
we used a few different places. And it did vary. Like there was better for more money, and then there was crappier for less money. But what 300 to 500?
Yeah, just depend. It depended on the number. So if you, at the time we were getting them to cull it as well.
Oh yeah,
just to try and speed up the process for us. But they had like a, if it was more than 5,001 photos to 10,000 was the same culling rate. It was a different culling rate to like 4,999.
Yeah, right.
So it was a frustrating,
more expensive.
Yeah, and then the same with the editing. You know, like it was 100 to 200, 200 to 300.
I think I saw that image in place are coming out with AI culling soon. Are you going to try that?
Yeah.
It's hard with culling though, because you have to. Yeah. You'll have to still go through it to see if it's missed anything. Yeah.
And I think when we did outsource our culling, we still went through it.
We still went through it
ourselves anyway. So it was probably just not actually saving us much time. You think it is, but you then just second guess, like, have they missed anything?
Yeah.
So I think culling yourself.
I'm interested to see how well, if we upload all of our photos from that wedding together, how well it matches the edits from the two different camera systems.
I don't know if it will. I've got no idea.
It says it can handle two different camera systems. So, but also yours hasn't been trained with a second camera system, but I'll be interested. It'll be interested to see how well it does. So we'll give it a test.
Mm-hmm.
See if it can handle it. See if it speeds things up. And you're still using Loop Deck.
I am using Loop Deck. I love it.
Have you used Loop Deck, Grant?
No.
It's like Loop Deck.
Like a little DJ deck.
DJ deck for editing photos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
And you can reprogram it if you want things in different spots and stuff like that. But basically all your Lightroom sliders and stuff become knobs. And, you can program some buttons, program presets and... there's good copy and paste buttons, which are really handy. That's what I use a lot. Just moving through copy and paste. If you've got the same situation happening. So
And just if you just want to slightly bump contrast and stuff, you're not moving your mouse.
Feels nice. You can stare at the photo and turn a knob and watch it change. If your computer's fast enough, it's actually not that fun to edit with it if you've got a sluggish computer. But on the new Macs, it's immediate. As you turn the knob, the picture starts to change, and it's like back when I used to do audio editing, and you turn dials and things change and you listen, and it's the same thing with a photo. It's fun. I won't say I'm looking forward to editing this wedding, but I'll enjoy getting these AI edits back and seeing if it's
be interesting to look at, for sure.
Seeing if it's good. Seeing what we get out of it. Seeing if the Canon colors just smoke your old Nikon DSLRs.
They won't.
You know anything?
I already know that they won't.
What about the skin tones, though?
Maybe. They all might look a bit yellow.
I think Jim's will look a bit green. Nikon always looks a bit green.
Don't know. I don't think so. I think the Dirt 50's pretty spot on.
Sticking with them for another season?
Yeah, at least. I'm like contemplating, do I buy another one and sell the 780?
So that's the other thing. You know, you can shoot electronic shutter with most of the new mirrorless cameras. So running, like, shutters dying becomes not really a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So you're not turning cameras over because they've got too much of a shutter count. Just saying. Just something to keep in mind. It's a financial choice. Yeah, I don't know. Like, selling the 780 is probably a good idea. But whether to get a third D850 when...
Or do I just run the D500? Do I just
run no backup. You still got a 24 to 70, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I got everything. You could shoot a whole day on a 24 to 70. If you smashed a camera, which is pretty rare. Depends.
Yeah, but if it dies.
I got a 750 and an 850 you can borrow.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if it's on a wedding day and I'm 3 hours away.
The Chateau d'Or.
But how often do you not have time to change lenses, you know?
You've always got time where you can just move.
Or you just move and get creative. You know, if you have to shoot a whole first dance with just the 28, it'll be fine.
I pretty much do. Just
getting close. Exactly. Like, you probably need to look at how often you change.
The 58 is still my most used lens.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, shoot the ceremony and then... Yeah, you could shoot the ceremony on 24 to 70 if you had to. Wouldn't be amazing, but, you know, when you break a camera or a camera dies, it's sort of at the point where you're just trying to save the day and capture the moments as opposed to being, you know, super creative or anything.
Mm.
I don't know. Third day at 50 seems like overkill when...
Yeah.
Oh, not a new one. Or, I don't know, I'm worried that mine is getting old.
I've got one.
High shutter count. Yeah, buy Grant's.
Are you selling it?
I will be once I get my R5.
Hmm.
There you go.
So, Justin, 2023, what are you doing? What's Lucky doing?
What's Lucky doing?
I heard you're moving into a new space.
Lucky's moving into a bigger space. We kicked Jim out of the office. He works from home now. So now Lucky has room to breathe.
So we could be doing this podcast there.
We could, but it's fun doing it remotely like this. It means I can travel and we'll still be able to do the podcast. Plus, we're going to get guests on.
Guests. True.
That is the plan.
They can sit on the couch.
They could sit on your couch, yeah. They could. Or they could podcast from the comfort of their own home, especially if they're in another country or something. That's the plan.
We don't have budget to fly people in.
We don't have budget to fly people in, no. And then we'll be cranking up the YouTube channel is the plan.
The Lucky YouTube.
This YouTube channel, The Camera Life, will be doing more stuff. Lucky YouTube will be getting some new product videos and stuff like that. But I think I'll keep that stuff separate to, you know, the reviews and things that I want to do. Maybe some travel videos. Grant's going to do a video when he goes to Japan.
Yeah, try to.
So that's the plan. What else is the plan? Lucky will be hopefully doing some new things. We're making some space in the office at the moment to do some new stuff.
New products.
Maybe some new products. We're working on them. Just got to, you know, catch up on making camera straps first.
Can you talk about them or not yet?
No, we've got to keep them on the down low. We'll see.
What about?
We'll see. They will be announced on this podcast first, though.
Will there be any new camera straps?
Yes.
Oh. Like mine?
Maybe. Ooh, we'll show. I'm we'll excited. We'll show the world yours at some stage before we actually make them. Yeah. But we will.
You just added that into the screen, didn't you?
That isn't the one I've been waiting for a couple of years now.
Yeah, exactly.
You and everyone else that's ever seen it.
The elusive.
Yeah.
Look, and everyone else that's ever emailed us. Just, you know, if you do happen to be listening to this, which I'm sure no one is because it's episode one, they're talking about the double camera strap, the elusive double camera strap. Jim's been testing one for 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's awesome, by the way.
And it's the same one, and it's amazing. And I've got one of them too, and they're the only two that exist. So,
and unfortunately, I had to buy a different brand.
Oh, sorry, Grant. That's all right.
If it makes you feel any better, Grant, I didn't pay for this one.
Yeah. I can't
I've been, trying to, though. I want to pay for one, but he won't let me.
Well, with gym money.
Because he won't make one. No, I'll pay for it with real money.
I can't even remember how much mine cost, but it was a lot.
They're worth expensive.
It, I think it was buffalo. It is worth hide it. Leather. Leather. Yeah.
But you know what else?
I see a lot of them around.
Shooting with one camera. Shooting with just one camera is actually nice. I really like it.
Unless you've got two cameras.
I have two cameras. But shooting with one is really nice.
Mm.
What else? Oh, more videography this year. Three big video projects to finish off 2022, which is cool. So I'm learning.
What were you shooting?
I was shooting stuff for Flow Mountain Bike, tourism projects for Mount Buller and Lake Mountain and the Goldfields, which is, you know, where we live.
It's pretty cool.
And they were all, 10 to 20 minute proper tourism videos, all on YouTube, thousands of views.
So that must have been like easy to edit.
No, I'm still learning the editing, but they were pretty good. I'm happy.
Just like mountain biking, though.
Yes.
Like mountain, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's cool. Mountain biking, you know, eating, drinking, tourism stuff.
Yeah.
But mostly mountain biking, like centered around proper mountain biking. So
yeah,
it was all on trail. Jim came along on one of them and shot the stills for it. It's mostly on bike. Like it's not a production where you're going from like location to location in a car and setting up tripods and doing all that sort of stuff. Like it's like you get on your bike and then you finish at the end of the day and you're still on the bike.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to carry everything on your back.
For some of the projects, were you shooting like stills and video?
Yeah. For at the same time? I do that for most of the reviews that we do. And I did that for the Goldfields track shoot. I did all the stills and video. So
how do you go? That's like, where, with that,
it's hard. The art
because it's two kind of shots.
Exactly. Well, the hardest thing is it's the freaking NDs. I hate ND filters. I hate managing them and taking them on and off. And I've tried magnetic ones, and I've tried screw-on ones, and I've just bought these new ones from Nissi. They're true color ones. Oh, look, hang on.
Is that a variable? Yeah.
Yeah, look how dark it
is. I was thinking about taking one of those to Japan.
Yeah, these you should check the Nissi ones out because they've actually got this thing called the Swift system, and you can push another filter onto the front of the variable ND. It's interesting. So you can add like filters to it. But yeah, what filters do you use for landscape stuff? These are purely for video just so I can cut the light down so I can use the shutter speed that I want to use. So it's,
I just got the 100x100 Nissi, like the square. Kit. So I've got it's like a landscape kit. So I've got the polarizer. I think there's like a 3-stop, 6-stop, 10-stop, as well as a
graduated,
yeah, for sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
So does that just go on the front of your lens?
Goes in it.
I've seen it, but I've never used one. I've got no idea. Kind of.
You can sort of stack them on, like it's like a system, and it screws onto the front of the lens, kind of like what Justin's got there. But then the actual, the system I got, like it clips onto that. And then you just put the filters in front of that.
So it's like, hang on.
Yeah, I've got like one of the older kids.
Oh, yeah, so it's changed a bit.
Yeah.
Show us more things. Where is it on a camera? So is it kind of like that?
Yeah, same sort of setup, yeah. And then the filters just slide down.
They slide in. Yeah. Cool. And so what, like, so that's a graduated, this is a terrible website, Nissy, just saying, like to have to change the, to change them and then have to scroll back up to see it.
You can't, like, you can't press right or left.
If I make it bigger, I can, but not, not if it's still, there's no right or left here.
Can you just click right or left? Look at your keyboard.
I'm not using my keyboard just to navigate this website. No, do better. Just do better, Nissy. Do better. Sorry.
I'm sure they're listening to our podcast.
they will be. You just wait. This will be sponsored by Nissy in 6 months.
Yeah. We love you. We love you, Nissy.
We love you, Nissy.
Yeah. I use you all the time.
I buy all your stuff. Come on. Sponsor us. Yeah. So what out of that kit, what like what do you use mostly? Is it mainly just to cut down light so you can do like seascapes and stuff like that, or?
Well, towards sunset, you sort of like, for me, if I was doing like a seascape, you don't need to put a stop on there because you don't want it to be too long. You'd only want to be like, you know, 1 to 1.3 of a second of a shutter.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just looks too flat. So it's more just like the graduated filter. It's more like if you're shooting a waterfall in the middle of the day, you would have like a 3 or a 6 on, depending how light it is. And most of the time then you'd be pretty secluded, so you wouldn't have a graduated on because there's not really much sky when you're shooting waterfalls, depending where you are. And always got the polarizer on.
You always use a polarizer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I barely ever use one.
It just gets the, I think I should. Just that glare. Depending on what you shoot, though, like it gets the glare off the water or pops colors in the sky sometimes if you need it.
Yeah. So this is this Swift system that like these push on, they like stack on to these variable NDs. And so you can add another 4-stop and then this black mist, which I've never used a mist. Does your kid have a mist thing in it? Or?
No, I've looked at it though, and I've seen a few people shoot with it, and it actually looks pretty cool.
What does it do?
It's like, say, it would be awesome for Japan. So it all...
what does it, like, a so black mist filter?
It's more like if you're shooting like neon signs and that, it just gives it that little bit of like Gaussian blur kind of look to it.
Okay.
Guess you would say.
Let's see. This DP review, they always know what it is. All right. Yep. Okay. So it looks bad. Basically makes your camera look old. What?
Yeah.
It's like if you use a yep.
You need to see it like shooting like a city or something where it's got some neon lights.
The flag moved.
It makes a flag move. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. So it's like it must have wind. It's got like a wind system built into the Oh, so you see the lights? See the lights down near the entrance? They get glare and blurry. That's the only difference I could see.
Is that better though?
I don't know.
I think it's more like.
I can't tell which one has the mist on it.
I think the one that's like the lights are blurrier has the mist, isn't it?
Is that more mist? That's more mist, isn't it?
That's more mist. Yeah.
So less mist. Hang on. No mist? Mist?
Oh, someone's calling me.
Hang up.
I can't.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll have to try that one day.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find the one I was talking about. But yeah, actually, like, I guess if you're shooting that style, you know, it's the same as using AI, but just on the front of your camera, if you're going for that look.
Interesting.
I think I've seen North Borders use it. Like, they might use it because they shoot a fair bit of street photography.
Yeah. Mm. We definitely need to come up with a little photography trip to go on, though.
Mm.
Maybe we'll have to wait till you get back from Japan, though, Grant.
Yeah. Cool.
We should go to Japan.
Hey?
We can't go to Japan. It's your honeymoon.
I guess we could. No, we could crash the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, do you? So you said you're just going to take a regular bag, not a camera bag?
Hmm.
Oh. Do you want to borrow a bag?
I've got a camera bag.
Yeah, but do you want to test a camera bag?
I could test the camera bag.
It's very casual camera bag. I'm gonna take it on some trips this year. It's actually, I'll put it a different way. It's actually a pretty bad camera bag, but it's a great travel bag that is also a camera bag. But yeah. It's not my favorite camera bag. Hang on.
How many camera bags do you have?
I don't want to talk about it.
And how many have you sold?
Did you just bump your audio up, Jimbo?
None.
No?
You've sold some.
Oh, do I?
This is the Wotencraft backpack.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
that's interesting.
It's got all these add-ons and stuff. It's really, like, it's very travel-y. There's a lot of flappy bits.
Would you get a travel tripod in there?
And flappy bit. Yeah, it's got a tripod holder inside it or on the side of it.
Oh, either.
It's got.
I'm only taking a small one.
It's a tripod holder on the side, but so it's basically it's side access.
Yeah.
It's not the widest side access. It's sort of hard to get into, but you can also see like unzip the sides, or you can unzip the top to get into like the bag and the laptop spot and stuff. And you can unzip both sides or the whole thing. It's weird, but
it looks weird.
Like it opens.
Oh, you can open it. So you could run it like a back access.
You could. I don't think you would, but you can. Depends where you end up attaching your dividers to. I think if you attach your dividers across ways to access it sideways, then you wouldn't be able to pull it open like that. What's
cool? I'll give it a go.
Is all the add-ons like there's this. Like this pocket on the front is a completely separate pocket that adds on. And there's other ones as well. But then also this whole front bit is completely, it opens right up and you can add more stuff on the inside of where this front bit opens up, where you can stuff stuff in there. Like I was putting helmets in there and towels and stuff, you know, like for traveling, it was very, you can stuff
handy.
Stuff under this flap.
Yeah.
Stuff under this flap. There's like a passport pocket in here that you don't even know because there's a zip and it's like really flat. And then when that's zipped up, you don't even know that that's a little flat
pocket
that no one would. Yeah, it's a very cool travel bag. It's not the most accessible camera bag.
Well, so I was going to take
it. You need access.
Yeah.
And if you're not taking that much stuff.
Like a Daikin heli bag. Like a 28 liter.
Because you're going to snowboard too.
Oh, but like 3 or 4 days.
Like it's but if you're going to take a backpack, it's probably not the best snowboard backpack.
I was going to take a backpack snowboarding.
Oh, you weren't going to bother?
No, that was just going to be my carry-on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can check this out if you want to take it. It's what I plan to take on some trips with if I'm taking just travel. I want to try and make a travel video this year, like a travel vlog, because I've always watched them.
Yeah, that's what got me like into it.
I think that would be really hard to make and annoying, but I need to just do one and see if that's true or not.
That's what would it be myself. A van life one?
Oh, fuck. I don't even know. I was thinking like, you know, an actual airplane trip, but I do say I am the only photographer who makes videos and has a van in the world that hasn't made any content about it.
Yeah, you didn't. Did you film any of the build?
Nope. No build, no van walkthroughs. No. I should probably do something.
You should. But you could. You can.
I haven't really thought about that. I always think about a travel vlog would be like it would be on an airplane going somewhere. Mm. So
I'll do it with you.
Oh yeah. Where are we going to travel to?
Depending on what time of the year.
New Zealand? Halley?
That could work. That could work.
Halley boarding.
It like what kind of travel though? So it would be like, you know, you're out exploring a jungle or just anything.
Anything. I just want to see how hard it is to make a travel vlog and whether it consumes your entire trip and makes it less fun because you constantly think about filming stuff or if it leads you on more fun adventures because you're
forced to get out.
Doing stuff, filming stuff. Because that's usually the case if your camera makes you go places. That's what this whole podcast is supposed to be about. So does that happen when you try and film a travel vlog? Or does it end up just feeling like work and you just want to relax?
That's probably depends.
On?
If you enjoy making videos, though.
Who it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy traveling, it's like, you know, you don't work a day in your life if you enjoy it.
It's true.
No, that's right.
It's true. That's right, isn't it, Jim? You don't work a day in your life.
I don't.
Unless it's a really tough wedding or really
hot. It's hot. Or any other, weather variable.
Weather variable. Or you don't get fed.
Oh, don't. Oh.
Is that a deal
Please
breaker?
Please feed me. No, it's not a deal breaker. Just a gym breaker. Just breaks me.
He just dies. He dies.
Do you see the news article the other week and the photographer deleted all the photos after he didn't get fed?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, right.
I've been close. Must be
very, very hungry.
Yeah, I could see Jim doing that.
I feed myself way too much food before I start.
Yeah, just in case.
Where does the best food?
The best food I've had was actually... we were there? Was Grant there? No, Grant wasn't there. It was a wedding we had the other day. It was pies and salad. It was like gourmet bakery pies and salad. And that was definitely the best wedding feed I've had. I've had some pretty good ones. I was also very hungry, so it could have been that, but I was super stoked.
Wow. All right.
That was pretty good. They were pretty good pies.
I had 2.5 pies though, so.
There is something, I think one of the big pluses for that is when you're really hungry and you can just get another one instead of just being like, well, that's my meal.
You've got a plate. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And there's different flavors and stuff. It's just like, I'll try a different flavor, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Pies for the win. If you're getting married, just get pies.
Pies.
Yeah. And book Jim.
Good pies, not average pies.
Or book Grant if it's only 4 hours.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or book me if you're going to do it. At somewhere cool like New Zealand or just New Zealand.
Destination wedding.
That's right.
Just book me for everything else.
Yep.
Everything.
Maybe photos, everything. Yeah, anything. He'll shoot
it all. I will.
Yeah. Got to pay Whatever for it at nine. Do you think both of you guys will be shooting mirrorless before the end of 2023?
Yep. No.
Gonna get another year out of it.
Yeah.
Or two. Drive it into the ground.
No, I'm pretty content.
Do you reckon you'll still be shooting DSLR when the next thing comes out? Whatever's after mirrorless?
Maybe. The DF50 is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I'll just be finding them on Marketplace for like $100 getting them. Because they'll be that old.
They'll be worth another 10 grand in 10 years because they've come back around.
DSLRs vintage. Will come back around.
They will.
Well,
point like film cameras.
Digital point and shoots. People are starting to pay more for them because they're like, they've got a vintage look.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay.
No, DSLR, like the good ones, you know, like flagship models and models that kind of changed.
I've got a couple old flagship models
mm.
right here on my shelf over there.
What have you got?
D2X, something like that.
D2H, and I think.
A Canon 1D Mark IV.
Hmm.
And
1D Mark IV.
Yeah. Yeah, 1D Mark IV. They suck. Like, they're fucking terrible cameras.
Yeah.
They were great when they were out, and they still feel awesome in your hand. But if you try and shoot with one now, you'll be like, like...
Maybe we need to do a comparison on the D2H versus the DF50.
If you want. It'll be a pretty straightforward comparison. Comparing... I don't know. Like, I don't even know what to compare it to, but yeah, it... I get nostalgic and I'm like, they're still good cameras and you don't need more than, you know, 12 megapixels or whatever. So what does it matter? And then you shoot with it and that you remember like how bad the ISO, you know, like anything over like an 800 shit. Yeah. And then and it's slow and, you know, just how you have to navigate the, anyway, it's and how tightly grouped the focus points are in the center of the frame.
Yeah, you got it's this tiny little thing.
Yeah. And it's sad because photography, I can imagine what people that shot mostly film in their career would be thinking. They're like, these people have no idea how hard it used to be. And it's not 30 photos. Nowhere near as bad, but even going from DSLR, like old DSLRs to mirrorless now, you're like, you could literally just, you can see exactly what you're about to take a photo of. And then you can put it in auto at 30 frames a second with no buffer. And just blaze away, and there'll be a photo in there somewhere. So the hardest part of modern photography is literally culling through the photos.
But you definitely get different moments, though.
Yeah, I think so.
But
to double back though, sorry, with your travel video.
Oh yeah.
What do you want to get from that? Like, do you just want to see how hard it is, or do you want to get into that?
I would get into it if it was fun. And like, part of me always wants to do it. When I watch other people's travel videos, I'm like, I should do this. I could make these videos and it would be fun and I like to travel. But then I tell myself they would work really hard to do this and a lot of it wouldn't be as fun as they make it look, because they're constantly having to set a camera up and then walk back and then walk past the camera and then walk back and pick the camera up and then walk away. And then they have to film themselves opening a door, and then they have to go inside and put the camera somewhere, and then they have to go back out the door and then walk through the door and get the other shot and all that sort of crap. I don't really want to do that.
Why don't you do more of like a vlog style?
And
make it like less...
Even
make it
those
easier,
are
like...
hard to film. They're still hard to film, and they still take a lot of energy, and you can't just go about your day and have a good old time and also capture the whole thing. So I do want to try and do it. So I've got to the point where I have to make one, because I keep talking myself out of it, and then I talk myself back into it. And the only way you know is to actually, you've just got to do it. You got to make one and then see if it was hard or not, or see if it was fun. See if the work was worth it when you press upload, and because that's what most of the time, whenever I upload a video, I'm like, that was fucking so worth it. Very excited for the outcome of a video, even though the editing takes forever and they can be really hard to shoot. I still love it.
Do you get nervous though when you upload it?
No, not usually, because I've usually watched it 16,000 times. So it's just time. It's not so much nervous. It's more like excited. You're like, you want to see if anyone else likes it. Does it get many views? And, you know, it's fun to see if they're getting views.
Because I definitely know when I press send, if I do a wedding, I'm terrified.
Wow, that's kind of different because, it's their special day, and you as much as you can communicate with them, you don't know exactly what they're thinking and what they want, whether you've captured it or not. So there is always that little bit of, I hope I did what they wanted, because I did what I can do and what I always do, but I hope that's what they wanted, because sometimes maybe they had a different expectation.
Yeah.
It's always a bit scary.
They also see things like differently, like they have experiences on the day that they saw things through their eyes, and then you're trying to
like you're seeing it through a camera with lenses and stuff where there's different perspectives and
yeah that Cascades trail video that I made for Flow has 27,000 views, so that's nice.
Whoa, that's awesome.
It's their most viewed tourism one.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Like it's like 2,000, 3,000, 5,000. So, it's going to play.
Hitting thousands, though, is pretty good. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it's not on my channel, but yeah.
You did good work, though.
It was a good video. Of the three that I did, that was definitely my favorite one. The other one.
I wonder if it was just the company you had.
Maybe it was because you were there. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe I bought your shooting up a level.
You might have. Maybe you'll have to do more mountain bike shoots next year. Just quit.
I'm in. Next year? Or this year?
This year. Yeah, I forgot.
I'm down for this year. Next year. Yeah. Next year, 2023.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah. Next year,
2023.
All right, I'm down.
Should we leave it there? Is that an episode? Should we wrap this thing up?
Look, do we get a guest next time?
Look, we might have to do a few of these. We'll be doing weekly for those of you listening.
We didn't do the intro. Not the intro. They're like, who are we?
We don't do that on this podcast. They'll figure it out after 10 or 20 episodes. They'll start.
Okay. Well, why did you make it a dot point? You did this.
Wait, I'll be bringing it up in the next few episodes at some point. I'll introduce you guys. And maybe myself. Yeah. But for those of you that did make it this far through the episode, we'll be doing these episodes weekly until Jim or Grant stop coming, in which case it'll just be me. And then we'll also
hopefully between all of us, we'll all be here.
We'll be getting guests.
Yeah.
We'll be getting guests that specialize in different types of photography, like nightscapes, landscapes, peoplescapes, all the scapes.
All the scapes.
And, that's the plan.
Maybe some video people too.
We will be getting a video person on. We're getting a real estate photographer on who's built a business of real estate photography. We'll be getting... Yeah, I know a guy. We're getting everyone we can get and then more. It's going to be fun.
I got some fun people ideas. I like this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Put them in the notes. And we will see all of you next week.
Goodbye.
We will.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.